Good morning. Welcome. Glad you're here. You know, it was such a blessing last week for us to host the YWAM missionaries from Cartagena, Colombia. I thought Sebastian gave a great message and the sharing. You know, I have to say, I have to give you, the Catalyst family, props. Because they said they felt so overwhelmingly blessed to be here by our church family. They said they felt so loved, so supported. In fact, Sebastian said he was kind of a little hard for him because he's not used to receiving like that. And the outpouring was so great. You know, Sarah said they had gone through a very challenging time. Even the trip they took to the Amazon was very difficult, challenging time. And Chief said they felt so refreshed, so uplifted. They said, we really felt safe in your community. So I was just so blessed to hear that. And so I want to encourage you to be praying about, asking the Lord about supporting them. I learned not from them, actually, they didn't tell me, but some other people told me they had heard that they are at less than 50% of their support level. And I actually asked them when I took them back to the airport, do they have to play, how many trips do they take? You know, flights, trips do they take? He said, probably for both of them, about 10 to 12 a year. And I go, so do you have to fund all that yourself? He goes, yeah, primarily. So on top of their normal living, they have to fund all their extra travel and different things they do. So, you know, and it's interesting because they were sharing with me that in Colombia, it's kind of more of a shame-based culture. So they said, you know, the churches and people, they treat them well, but they said, but overall there's this feeling because they're support raisers, they're kind of looked down upon, right? It's kind of like, yeah, like, well, why, how come you don't get a real job, right? And so just prayerfully consider supporting them. I think they're an amazing couple, and I look forward to us partnering with them in different ways in the future. Well, after hearing Sebastian's message this week and spending time with them, I felt like the Lord confirmed today's topic, the topic of today's message. And today's topic, trust. It's trust, specifically trust in God. Trust in God. You know, they shared an amazing story about feeling led, and they felt led and called to lead a team for 1 month, a YWAM team for 1 month, right, into the Amazon jungle. And they went with their two-month-old daughter. Okay, two-month-old daughter. They said both of their parents, right, were like really worried, and this is them in the Amazon jungle with little Mia, right? The last time they were here last year, Sarah was pregnant with Mia. So, but they said the parents were concerned, the parents were worried, they had uncles, aunties who were like telling them, don't do that, that's not good, right? And when you heard that story, how did you feel? What was your reaction? Because, you know, here in the United States, right, you don't even take your baby out for 2 months, right? You keep that thing locked down, right? Oh, no, we can't do that. That's like germs, right? We don't want to, in the Amazon jungle, 2 months old, right? So how did you feel about that? What did you think? What's your emotional reaction? Is it like, man, that's crazy. That's foolish. That's irresponsible. Or, wow, that's such tremendous faith, tremendous trust in God. You know, it all depends on our perspective, on our belief, on your level of trust in God. Their conviction was that God called them to be a missionary family. That means they were to serve and be missionaries all together as a family, which meant even taking their little two-month-old baby, into the Amazon jungle. It's a different way of thinking. It's a different way of living. Is that God's way? Is that God's way for us? Well, for the last several years, God has been impressing on me, I don't know how many times he's brought this verse to my mind during my devote time with the Lord, listening to the Lord. And you've heard me even speak about this before. It's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. With all that is going on today in the world, we desperately need someone or something that we can fully trust in. A few weeks ago, we had our meeting on preparing for the coming economic crisis. And so I was really blessed by the response of that many of you are willing to venture into that, because it can be scary to venture into those kinds of things. And you were willing to venture into that. And we're diligently, the elders, leaders, we're diligently preparing follow-up to that meeting where we're going to address different issues related to that. But, you know, there's tremendous change happening right now. It's exponentially increasing. You know, another topic, I'll probably be bringing it up, you'll probably be hearing more of it in the future, been highlighted to me from the Lord, is the whole topic of AI, artificial intelligence. Just last, I don't know, two nights ago, Elon Musk, they introduced this new AI. It's called Gronk 4. I'm not going to go into it. Google it. Look, go to YouTube. Just look, put G-R-O-K 4. It's, on a human level, very frightening where AI is going. Artificial intelligence, artificial general intelligence, artificial super intelligence. Look up IBM Sterling. In 3 years, IBM is planning to launch the Sterling computer, quantum computer. They say it's 10 to the 48th power more powerful than any of the best supercomputers today. They're talking about AI becoming like God. Literally, these secular people, they're saying it's going to be like God. On top of that, right, robotics, the moral decay of society, very challenging, uncertain times ahead. Massive, exponential changes coming. And it's very difficult to trust in times of tension, in times of uncertainty, in times of feeling a lack of control. But Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. You know, trust is the bedrock and foundation of all relationships. That's why God is, you know, one of the 10 commandments, do not bear false witness, do not lie, because lying destroys trust. And if there's no trust in a relationship, that will lead to disintegration. So how do we grow in our trust? And specifically, how do we grow in our trust in the Lord? Well, three ways I'm gonna go over these three ways that we can grow in our trust of God. Number one, we need to know God. That deals with our mind, our thinking. We need to understand who God is. How can you trust someone if you don't even know them? Right? You cannot trust someone if you don't know them. So first and foremost, first step is we have to know who God is. Second, we have to connect with God. That's talking about heart. First one's talking about mind. This one's talking about our heart, our emotion, right? Knowing God's head, trusting God's heart. And you know, if you think about it, trust, it really comes from the heart. That you trust someone. You feel safe with them. You know who they are trustworthy. You feel like they're reliable. So connecting with God. Now, the third one, follow God. That deals with the will. So we're talking about the way to grow in trust of God is growing in our mind, understanding who God is, growing in our heart, our connection with God, and growing in our will. That's following God, obedience. That increase our trust. And that's where the rubber meets the road. You know, Abraham is a great example of someone who wasn't perfect by any means, but someone who trusted God and was blessed. And so we're going to look at each of these, knowing God, connecting with God, following God, and we're going to look at Abraham in this context. So let's look at the first one, knowing God. Genesis 12, 7 through 8. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. Then he proceeded from there to the mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord, look at this, and called upon the name of the Lord. Abram, in this verse, who was later, his name was changed to Abraham, the father of nations. He knew the Lord by name. You know, whenever, in most Bible translations, whenever you see the Lord, oh, what happened to this one? That's not right. You know what's weird? Really weird? What's really weird is when I was doing this and I would look up the verse in the Bible online, right? Lord, this one, it should be all caps, Lord. Because whenever you see in the Bible the word Lord written in all caps, it's meant to be the name of God, Yahweh. That's called the Tetragrammaton, four letters, YHWH, right? And it was weird because when I was trying to send this slide to Damon, right, and it was Lord in the text, I would copy it and I would put it and it would switch it to lowercase Lord. I go, that's weird. Why is it doing that? I kept doing that. And then I think I felt like I got it right and sent it, but apparently didn't get it right. But it's very significant that Lord appears four times here, and it says that Abraham called upon the Lord. That's Abraham called upon Yahweh, because Yahweh is God's name. And Abraham knew Yahweh, the person Yahweh, God, the one true God, Yahweh. That's who Abraham honored. That's who Abraham followed. That's who appeared to Abraham. That's who Abraham called upon. It was Yahweh. He knew what Yahweh was like. He knew what the truth about Yahweh's character is. He knew that Yahweh is completely trustworthy and completely good. You know what that's called? Good theology. Abraham had good theology. Theology is a study of God. He had studied, he had known his God, Yahweh. And he had this understanding in his mind, in his perspective. He knew the truth of who God is and God's character and what he is like. He knew the foundational doctrines of who God is. In the fall, we'll see, sometime we're planning to offer a class about knowing God. We don't know if it's going to be this next fall or in the future, but it'll be based on the class that Henry Chi and others taught to the youth. And it was about foundational doctrines, and it was about apologetics, knowing the historical facts and reasons and rationality behind belief in God, belief in Jesus, belief in Christianity. That's the first place of trusting God, is you have to know him. We have to know what he's like, know the truths about who he is. You know, you could believe wrong things about God. A lot of people believe wrong things, believe falsehoods, believe lies about what God, who God is and what he's like. Look at this verse, 2 Corinthians 11, 3 through 4. But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your what? Minds, your thinking will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. Look at this, verse 4. For if one comes and preaches another Jesus, did you know there could be another Jesus? Do you know that the Jesus that you believe in might not really be the true Jesus? You know there's people promoting Jesus, they're using the name Jesus when they're not even talking about the real Jesus at all. Because there's people that believe in, think, follow a false Jesus. Their understanding of who Jesus really is not correct. It's not biblical. For if one comes and preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you bear this beautifully. He's being sarcastic there. How do you put up with these guys that are not preaching the right Jesus? That talks about our thinking, our understanding of who God is and who Jesus is. Of God, John Bevere, this is from page 118. He says, recently after a Sunday morning service, a man said to me, I'm a single Christian. I sleep with women because it's impossible to live a celibate life. I stopped for a few months, but then returned to sleeping with women. But that isn't the main issue of what I'm here to talk to you about. My main question is, why am I having so many struggles in my business? Then he goes on, I was in shock. Have our unbalanced messages of grace brought people to the place of believing they will abide in God's presence and blessings while they live in flagrant sin? In a Q&A at a church women's conference, a lady asked my wife, I really love my husband, but he travels a lot and I keep sleeping with other men. What should I do? Should I tell him? These two really believe they are in relationship with Jesus. But is it the Jesus at the right hand of God, or is it a knockoff Jesus? Our theology, our thinking, our understanding of who God is, who Jesus is, what the Bible says, we need good theology, good thinking. Then that's the first place to trust God, because if you don't really know who God is, who are you really trusting then? The only way we could grow in trust is if we really know who God is. Nothing new under the sun. We got to know this. If you're not reading this, what is shaping your thinking about God? There's so many things we believe about God because we want to, because we like it, because it feels good. You got to get in this. This is what shapes the truth. This is what shapes and influences our thinking, our right thinking about who God is, who Jesus is, what Christianity is about, what truth about our beliefs. It's right here. That's the most important first step is you got to know who God is, and it comes from the book. It comes from the book. Second thing, not only just knowing God, but connecting with God. Next. Genesis 22, 1 through 2. Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham. God does test people. God does test us. Not for his sadistic joy to want to give out tests. He wants us to know what's in our hearts. He wants us to know what's in our hearts. He already knows, but he wants to reveal it to us so we could address and we could grow. He tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. He said, take now your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I tell you. God was testing Abraham. Basically, he was saying, Abraham knows me in his head, but what's really in his heart? What's really in his heart right here? Does he truly trust me? Yahweh wanted to reveal Abraham's heart to others and to Abraham himself. So God gives Abraham kind of like this final exam. This, you know, whenever teachers said this, I didn't like it. When they said, we're going to have a comprehensive final. I like the ones that said the final is just going to be on that last chapter, right? You got to study everything. This was like at the end, near the end of Abraham. Like, he was 100 years old plus, right? And he's giving him this final comprehensive exam. And he asked him to do what most would consider crazy, reckless, uncomprehensible, even evil. Way beyond taking a 2-month-old into the Amazon jungle. God told him to sacrifice Isaac, offer him as a burnt offering on the altar, his promised beloved son. What? Abraham had waited until he was 99 years old for God to fulfill this promise. He was his only rightful heir. It makes zero sense. No sense whatsoever. And many would have said that's immoral. Not unheard of, because the Canaanites would offer child sacrifices to the god Moloch, and other people would offer child sacrifices. So not unheard of, but definitely immoral. Evil. So what's this all about? I believe Abraham really knew Yahweh. And I believe Abraham trusted Yahweh. He had walked with Yahweh decades and decades and decades. But what I'm wondering about this passage and this story is, what made Abraham believe and trust that this crazy thing he was hearing from God was really God, right? He trusted God. I believe he trusted God. He trusted Yahweh. He knew Yahweh. But my question is, what made him think that when he heard God tell him to sacrifice his son, what made him think that that was really God? You know, I hear a lot of people over the years, they say, if God just appeared to me and just told me, I would do it. I think what they're saying is, I trust God, and I have a certain level of knowledge of who God is. I don't trust my ability to hear his voice. So when he tells me things, I don't know if that's really God or not. That's my question for Abraham. What would make him think that this crazy thing he thinks is God that's asking him to do this is God? Wouldn't you think, oh no, that's the enemy. That's Satan asking me to do that. What would make it? I pondered this and pondered this, and I felt like the Lord revealed this to me. My conclusion is this. He knew it was Yahweh's voice because it came after years and years and years of him connecting hearts with Yahweh every single day. Because Abraham was devoted to connecting with his God. Heart connecting with his God every day. He pursued an active, alive relationship with God every day. And so after years and years and years and decades and decades and decades of doing that, even though this was this crazy thing he was being asked to do, he knew God. And in his heart, even though in his head it seemed outlandish, crazy, even potentially evil, in his heart, because he had walked with God and had heart connection with God for that long, he knew in his heart, this is the Lord. This is Yahweh. This is the one who's asking me to do this. Are you spending time to connect hearts with your God? That's why he sent Jesus. That's why he sent Jesus for you. Not so you could, just so you could get a ticket to heaven, but it's so you and I could connect intimately every day with Father God. Are you developing your ability to hear and recognize God's voice? To grow in your heart connection with God every day? That's a key to growing in trust in the Lord. It's that heart connection with him. And let me tell you this. In light of some of the things I just mentioned in the beginning about economic crisis, AI, quantum computer, all these crazy things that are happening, coming, I believe in the future, the near future, your greatest asset will be you having established a heart connection of trust with the God. To be able to navigate, to be able to discern, to be able to be led by the Spirit of God who is active in your life, to have come to know the voice of God that could guide you and direct you in these crazy situations that are going to be coming in the future, that's going to be your greatest asset, to actually be able to live supernaturally with the Lord, the Holy Spirit, leading you. Ray, I told you this was going to be a serious message, right? I told you. He asked me, why am I wearing this dress shirt today? I go, because I'm doing business today. But the ultimate test of trust, it's found in verse 3. Point number 3, following God, obedience. Genesis 22:3-10. So Abraham rose early in the morning and settled his donkey. It only took Abraham one night to discern, this is the Lord's voice. He knew him that well. He settled his donkey, and he took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then it says, he takes out his knife and he raises it up to kill and sacrifice his son. If you've never heard the story, you got to go read it for yourself what happens next. For those that know the story, we know what happened. Abraham obeyed God. Isn't really that the true sign of trust. We can know God, we can have connection with God, but when we're asked to do something in faith, to step out and put the trust that we say we believe on the line, that's where the rubber meets the road. That's what's going to make the difference in our day-to-day lives, when we're able to do that. Ultimately, what grows our trust the most is our actions. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith without works is what? Dead. When we step out in faith and trust in God over and over and over, and we experience His trustworthiness, then we think more and more, yeah, I can trust God. He's true to His word. He's true to His promises. He came through again. How do you know the sun will rise tomorrow? Because every day you've seen it come up. If you're a little kid, why does the sun come up? Is the sun coming up tomorrow? A little kid doesn't know, but they see it day after day. Every day the sun rises. And then they learn to trust the sun is going to rise tomorrow. How do you know, or how do you grow in your trust in someone? Because they do what they say over and over and over again. How does a child learn to trust their father? Because the father keeps his word. He's true to his word over and over and over and over again. So the child learns to be secure and to trust the word of the father. We grow in trust of Yahweh when we, A, read His word, and we intentionally act on His promises and truths in the book. This demonstrates trust in His word, and then we experience His trustworthiness in our lives over and over again. That's A. Or B, we hear Him through the Holy Spirit speak to us and prompt us, and we obey God's voice in faith and trust. We experience His trustworthiness and grow in our ability to correctly hear God's voice. More than ever, we're going to need to trust in the Lord with all our hearts. Do not lean on your own limited, tiny, minuscule understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him first. Look to Him. Seek to Him. Acknowledge Him. Partner with Him. Walk with Him. Connect hearts with Him. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And He, only He will make your paths straight. Even amidst these crazy, uncertain times, He will make your paths straight. Here are just some applications to grow in trust of Yahweh. Number one, start reading your Bible. Even if it's just one verse a day. If you don't think that's valuable, you got to take my mini habits class. Take mini habits class. One verse a day. One paragraph a day, one chapter a day, three chapters a day, the New Testament in a year, the whole Bible in a year, whatever it is, you got to get in the Word every day. That's how you're going to, number step one, know who your God, who Yahweh is. and not believe in the knockoff gods, the knockoff Jesuses that are proliferating in this world. Second, practice hearing God. Journaling. Hearing God is a skill. We're so used to living out of our own five senses. We're so used to just operating out of our own human wisdom and our own flesh. Learning to hear through your spirit, it's a skill. You have to work at it and you have to practice. But that is going to build trust in your heart. Connecting. You know, sometimes I think we think, well, when those crisis things come, then I'll get ready. It's too late. Like Abraham, he put the time in and it was built over years and years and years. I have a class for that too, learning to hear God's voice. If you haven't taken it, you got to take it. Unless you hear God's voice well, you got to take the class. If you've taken that class, I know many of you, you've probably sloughed off on your journaling. Recommit to doing it. Because you're investing in your spiritual future. You're investing in your heart trust of the Lord. So do it now. Start it now. So when the time comes and you really are in a pinch and you need the Lord to speak to you and guide you, you will train yourself and go, okay, I sense this is, doesn't make sense, but this is what God wants me to do. Three, a lot of trust. For a lot of us, finances, trusting in finances is huge. What I found, and so this step is take a step of trusting God with your finances. What I found, often, the way you build trust with your finances, sorry to say, giving your money away. That's how you build trust. Taking steps of giving, where it's like, ooh, I don't know. My human self says, ooh, that's, I don't know, do I want to lower my accounts by that much? In the future, if you're putting your faith and trust in your retirement accounts, your savings accounts, different things, those are shaky things to put your trust in. Four, sign up for prayer ministry. The reason why I put this, actually I felt like the Lord put this on my heart. The reason why I put this is because when you take a step of faith to partner with God to deal with your stuff, your painful stuff, your scary stuff, the issues you know are there, but you keep putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. Let me tell you, putting issues off, trying to hide, bury issues, they come out. They will come out. And they will hurt you. They will be hurting the people around you. And they will be hurting your kids. This takes faith and trust to go into the dark places of our past. To be willing to go into hurtful places. That's where we partner with the Lord. Heart connection with the Lord. Know He's good. Know truth will set us free. And a good step, sign up for prayer ministry. Our prayer ministry teams are awesome. Once you go, you go, oh, that wasn't that bad. That wasn't too scary. Oh, I kind of liked it. But it's trusting God to help us, who walk with us, to deal with our stuff. Today we're having communion. I think it's so fitting. It's for us to bring to the Lord in communion areas where we're not sure, areas where we're not trusting, areas where we're having difficulties and challenges, areas where there's fear, areas where we exert control that we don't want to give up. In communion, coming before the Lord, it's like you one-on-one with your loving Father because of the blood of Jesus. And it's like, okay, Lord, help me because I'm having trouble trusting you in this way. So I'm going to have the worship team come up. One other thing. Today, I'm bringing back lab time. Okay, some of you are newer. You might, what is lab time? Some of the old-time Catalyst people, they know what lab. So many years ago, we would kind of fairly regularly have these lab times. And it's kind of like in high school when you have biology class, right? You learn stuff, but in the lab, you actually do stuff, right? You try to do these experiments and you do these things, and it's an opportunity to try to step out in faith to implement something that was from the message. So today's lab time, after you spend time with the Lord, after you bring your things to the Lord, after you meet him and receive forgiveness, because a lot of times people, especially you ministry people, I know right when the get-go you start thinking, okay, Lord, who do you want me to pray with? No, you go to the Lord first, face to face. Then after you go to the Lord, this is the lab. All I want you to do is ask God one of two things. One, who in this room do you want me to bless? And when the Lord brings someone, you might look around there and someone's highlighted to you. Don't think. Don't analyze. This is a safe space to try to step out because we're all trying to grow together. You just go out and to bless them, it could be very simple. Lord, bless them with blank. Or you could pray over them. Or if the Lord gives you a word of knowledge, you could share that with them. At this point, for today, all words, I want them to be positive words, right? Just as a general, since it's the whole group and we're all learning, I don't want any judgment words given today, just for today, for this lab time. But you bless someone. Says, who do you want me to bless? After the communion and during the worship, you just go up to that person and say, oh, I felt like the Lord wanted me to bless you, and whatever. It could just be a simple word of encouragement. Okay? Or, second option, if you sense the Lord wants you to ask someone to pray for you, you could do that too. So that's the lab. This lab is about trying to connect with the Holy Spirit, trying to discern, and then stepping out in faith, exercising your trust muscle to step out in faith. Okay? We good? You nod your heads. Okay, we're good. Okay? All right? We're gonna do this because we want to grow. We need to grow in our trust in the Lord. And the best way you could grow is by action, stepping out in faith. All right, let me have a word of prayer. Lord God, thank you for our time today. Thank you, Lord, that you are utterly, completely, thoroughly trustworthy. We could put 100% of the weight of our trust in you for our lives, for our futures, for our jobs, for our provision, for our kids, for our families, for our relationships, Lord. We can trust you. So, Lord, help us to grow in our trust of you, to know you, Lord, to be connected with you, Lord, and to be obedient to your word and your voice. So Holy Spirit, would you come? We just give you freedom and permission to move, to direct. Would you meet each one face to face, heart to heart, Lord? to bless. And would you use our church family so we can bless and encourage one another? So thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Enjoy your time with the Lord.